Thanks for checking out the podcast, BS First. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook. Drop us a line. Let us know how you've been blessed by this ministry. As always, you too can experience a fresh start with Jesus.
All right, we got an exciting message today. We're going to talk about ES First, and we're going to talk about Enoch. Enoch. How many of you are familiar with Enoch? All right, the seventh from Adam. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, I'm just going to do with one verse today. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, sometimes we can take just a small verse. This is a little 35 words in this verse right here, I suppose, something like that. And sometimes we can take a little scripture like this and skip over it because that's Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, you will also find Enoch listed in Genesis chapter 5, I believe it is, and long about verse 24. Genesis 5, 24. And so you want to remember Genesis 5, 24, and then you want to remember the last verse in the Bible. So we're going to cover from Genesis to Revelation. That should take us a little bit of time. So we're talking about Enoch. Who was Enoch? Well, he was probably a man who taught his children to honor their father and their mother. I mean, you know that's important. You ever had any sassy kids that sass back to their parents? Not good. Wouldn't you like to just stuff their mouth full of ice cream and let them sit there for a while? I believe that Enoch was a man that pleased God, the Bible says. And in order to please God, if you're the head of the house, then you're going to teach your children about the things of God. And you're going to let them know how to follow wholly after the Lord. The Bible says, train up a child in the way that they should go. And when they are old, they will not depart from it. The Bible also says, honor thy father and thy mother so that thou mayest live long on the earth. How many think that's important, right? Hey, Brandon, I think you're right. We got some sleepers here today. I want to hear you. It's important to train your children in the fear and admonition of God, right? Yeah. There we go. Well, how do you know that Enoch did that? Well, because his son lived to be 982 years old. And his name was Methuselah, the oldest man in the Bible. So he must have taught his son about the things of God. Now, Genesis chapter 5. And Jude 14, you know where Jude is in the Bible? Where's Jude? It's the book just before the book of Revelation. How many chapters are in Jude? One. That's right. And so Enoch must have been pretty important if Jude was going to put him in a one-chapter book of the Bible. And it says there that Enoch was the seventh from Adam. Say the seventh from Adam. All right, and how'd you like to wake up in the morning and say, this is what you're going to be preaching on? When I get alone with the Lord, I had somebody ask me on the internet or on my cell phone the other day, what are you doing? I said, I'm just in my office talking to the Lord. It's my favorite time of the week when I can just sit down and listen to God. And so Brandon says, you can preach on Enoch or you can preach on Moses. You take your pick. And so I said, well, there's a whole lot on Moses, but there's a very little on Enoch, right? So I said, I'll talk about Enoch. That way I can be a hero and get you out early. But there's so much that's wrapped up in this one little scripture that is powerful. And in this passage of scripture is contained the message of the whole Bible. And so if you're a numerologist, you'll look at the number 7 in the Bible. The Bible says that Enoch was the 7th from Adam. And so what does the number 7 stand for and what does it represent? The number 7 is the number of completion and the number of perfection, both physically and spiritually. The Bible has a whole lot of sevens in it. The Bible is divided up into 7 major divisions: the law, the prophets, the writings of Psalms, the gospels, the general epistles, the epistles of Paul, and Revelation are 7 divisions in the Bible. Enoch was the 7th from Adam. God's creation. He created the heavens and the earth and all that is therein in how many days? And one resting 7 days. Is that correct? If you take a look at the writings of Paul, you'll find there are 7 titles of Christ in his writings. King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Hello, prophet, priest, king. 7 titles of Christ in the writings of Paul. 7, the number of completion and perfection. And I begin to ask myself this question. Where the Bible talks about Enoch, it said that he pleased God and he walked with God and God took him. God took him. And so I ask this question, why did God choose Enoch over all the people? There was a lot of people that walked and pleased God. But why did God take Enoch? Was there a reason? Well, Enoch was mentioned 7 times in the Bible. There are 7 passages of Scripture that deal with Enoch. And several times, in 2 or 3 or 4 of those times, it mentioned that he was the 7th from Adam. The number of completion and the number of perfection. Did you know that God puts all these things in the Scriptures so that we can understand his great plans? There's nothing hidden in the Scriptures. They are many times, and most times they are spiritually discerned, and you have to seek after them to understand. He said, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, the word of God. And so we understand that, well, there's something to be said about completion and perfection. The number 7. Well, in Genesis chapter 5 and verse number 23, the Bible teaches us that Enoch lived to be 365 years old. That's an interesting number that they would give Enoch 365 years. How many know How many days are in a year? 365 days makes a complete year, a perfect year. Hello. And Enoch, the seventh from Adam, lived 365s. I don't think that's a coincidence. Is there a reason that God chose Enoch, of all people on the earth, to take him away? Well, it's kind of starting to point that way. Now, the Bible doesn't have a great number of scriptures to help us understand Enoch. But it certainly has incredible quality information to say about Enoch. The seventh from Adam, he lived 365 days, completion, perfection. And in Jude chapter 14 and verse 15, the Bible says that Enoch was a prophet, and this was his prophecy, Jude 14. Now, Enoch was the seventh from Adam, and he prophesied about these men also, saying, look what Enoch said, behold, the Lord comes with thousands of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. That was his prophecy. And so, go back to the last screen, Jude 14, Enoch prophesies, and he says, behold, the Lord is coming. Behold, the Lord cometh. In Revelation chapter 22 and verse 20, Jesus said, surely I come quickly. Amen. To which John replies, even so come, Lord Jesus. How many know Jesus is coming? He's coming back. Jesus said about his coming in John 14, 1 through 3, he said, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The Message Bible reads it this way. Don't let this throw you. You trust God, don't you? Then trust me. There's plenty of room for you in my Father's home. If that weren't so, would I have told you that I'm on my way to get a room ready for you? And if I go on my way to get your room ready, I'll come back and get you. And you can live where I live. Doesn't that kind of ring a bell to that which is going to happen to us? Is, well, the same thing that happened to Enoch, that the Lord came and got him. Jesus is coming back to take his bride away. And the study of Enoch helps us understand a tidbit of the occasion. A forerunner, we might say, of the rapture. And so we ask ourselves this question, why did God put Enoch in Genesis chapter 5 at the beginning? Because he wanted to establish the doctrine and the theory and the understanding of the rapture of the church. Why did he pick Enoch? Because when the time is right, when the time of perfection is here, seven years after the generations after Adam. The number of completion and perfection is here, and when that time comes, we're out of here. And the very fifth chapter of Genesis and the very last chapter of Revelation both include the rapture of the church, hello, and everything that's in between, sandwich in between, is about the rapture. And I believe this is the reason why he chose Enoch of all these people. By faith, Enoch was taken away. We've been teaching the subject of faith. What is faith? Faith is the blueprint. It's the Word of God. It's what we are to follow. And in so following the Word of God, that which we hope for takes place. Hello? So by faith, Enoch was taken away. He did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. The Message Bible says it this way. By an act of faith, Enoch skipped death completely. They looked all over and couldn't find him because God had taken him. Sound like what's going to happen? We know on the basis of reliable testimony that before he was taken, he pleased God. That's the same thing that's going to happen. The pedigree of the people who are taken in the rapture are people who please God. And so that's our blueprint. That's our path of faith for that which we hope for, is that we would strive to please God. And so why did God choose Enoch for this event? Well, I think it could be that he was the seventh from Adam. Perfection and completion. God is telling us that's when it's going to happen. 365s are also interesting years. Number of completion. God takes Enoch. One version says Enoch was translated. And this event opens up great insight into the second coming of Jesus Christ. Great insights into the rapture of the church. It opens up great insights to the subject of eschatology. 35 great words in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 5. So why Enoch? I believe to establish a precedent for the rapture. When everything is completed in God's eyes, hello. When everything is in perfection and lived and lined up in order. And this book causes us to know that when God has everything in perfection and when God has everything lined up, I don't know if he's got a swivel chair or how he's going to do that, but he'll probably turn around and say, bring the guy with the trumpet. Hello. Gabriel, let's go. Our walk of faith is a blueprint for the thing that we hope for. What are we supposed to hope for? The 16 tenets of faith of what we believe says that we are hoping we have a blessed hope. Titus chapter 2 and verse 13 says this. We need to be looking for the blessed hope. Looking for that blessed hope. The glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity or take us home. That is our blessed hope. It's interesting about the blessed hope that God speaks to us and he says that he's coming back for those who are looking for him. He's coming back for people who long for his glorious appearing. He's coming back for people who, like John the Revelator, repeat the words of Jesus who said, I come quickly. He's coming back for people whose focus is is on those words, even so, Lord Jesus, come. He's looking for people whose eyes are on the eastern skies. He's looking for people who are looking up, not looking down. He's looking for people who are serving, not as opposed to those who are unfaithful. Hello. See, not everybody who says Lord qualifies themselves to be like Enoch. But it's those who does the will of the Father. We need to ask ourselves this question. Do we live a life in such a fashion that my spouse, my relatives, my friends, my neighbors, do we live a life in such a way that Jesus is going to do for us? Is our life that type of an example? We need to ask ourselves this question. Like you did for Elijah in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse number 11, where God gave us a visual. Elisha walked with Elijah, and the chariot of fire came down, and Elijah disappeared up into the heavens. Do we live a life so we're ready for the chariot ride? Hello. Do we live a life in such a manner that God will do for us like he did for Jesus at the ascension, when God took Jesus up into heaven and they said, why stand you here gazing? The same Jesus that has gone up into the heavens will come again in like manner. Do we live that kind of a life? Are we ready? Are we looking for the rapture of the church? That's the answer. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 28 says, so Christ once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And in 2 Timothy 4:8 he says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Amen. Why did they use Enoch? Seventh from Adam, 365 years of 365. The number of completion and the number of perfection is because God is ready to come back and take his bride away, and we need to be ready to be caught up together with him, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Can you say amen to that? And so I have some questions that might be asked about the rapture of the church. I want to give you four questions. Answer those questions today that Enoch would have brought to our attention way back in Genesis chapter 5 and verse number 24. The first question I would like to ask is this, answer is this: what is the rapture? What is the rapture? Somebody said, well, I've looked and I've searched the scriptures over and over and over again, and I can't find the word rapture in the Bible. No, you will not find the word rapture in the Bible, because the rapture is not used in the Bible, but it's the name given to the occasion when Jesus will come and descend from heaven to fetch his children and take them with him to be just like he did with Enoch and for Elijah. To those who are his faithful disciples, 1 Thessalonians, what is the rapture? 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17 says it this way: the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. I'm ready to go. How about you? The disciples of Christ, those who have already died, will be resurrected first, and they will be joined with those who are still living in Christ. That's us. Hello. Raised up together with incorruptible bodies to meet Jesus in the air. 1 Corinthians 15:52 says it this way, the trumpet of the Lord shall sound. The dead in Christ will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality, 1 Corinthians 15. In other words, we're going to be changed in a twinkling of an eye. Hello. Did you know there's some practical questions that people have about the rapture? Like, for example, well, what's going to happen to automobiles at the rapture when Christian drivers are raptured out? What's going to happen to all the automobiles and the airplanes and the boats? If Christians are raptured out, what's going to happen? Well, let me tell you something. The same thing is going to happen that happens when people text while driving. I said this same thing happens when people text while driving or fall asleep at the wheel. You understand that? It's going to be chaotic. There ain't no driver. What happens when there ain't no driver? Well, figure it out. Figure it out. Should you drink and drive? No way, Jose. That's really dumb, isn't it? It's really dumber to get in a car with somebody who is drinking and driving. I might suggest something. If you're not walking ready to meet Jesus, you might want to ask if you can drive. That one went over some of you heads. These are just little questions that people ask about, you know. In my staff meetings, I tell my staff, no texting and driving. You don't text and drive. I don't text and drive. It's not always been that way. It's when I figured out and got smart, when they said it's, I think, 67 times more dangerous to text and drive than it is to drive drunk. Quit it. Well, let me give you an easier one. What happens if I'm in a bathtub and Jesus comes? Just a thought. Well, how's that going to work? I don't mean quit taking a shower because you don't want to go up. You understand what I'm talking about. Like somebody said, well, which way's up? How do you know? You know, if you're in Australia, how in the world are you going to go up when you're going down? I don't know. It all works together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose, right? There we go. Kind of makes me think of the guy who was the green guy in The Mask or something. You remember how he did all this fantastic stuff, The Mask? Anybody ever seen that movie? Crazy guy. Well, that's when, so people are going up and down and out and around. He'll get it done. Don't worry about it. Well, Pastor, that ain't what you was talking about. You was talking about my swimming suit. Oh, I was, huh? Or the other suit, whatever you want to call it. Well, here's the deal. The good news is going to happen in a twinkling of an eye. So you ain't going to have time to look. Isn't that good? I'll drink to that. Well, look it. There's some really, the Bible talks about this stuff as a mystery. He says, let me show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. It's a mystery. Some of this stuff is mystery. For example, what happens to somebody that died at sea, wrapped him in a rubber flag, threw him over the side, and the sharks ate him up? How's Jesus going to resurrect that guy? What about the martyrs who were burned at the stake and all they had was ashes, or somebody who had been cremated? Well, what about somebody who was embalmed? Hello? They were sawn asunder. They were burned at the stake. What about all that stuff? And so I contend this. If Jesus can put all that back together and put a robe and a crown on him, don't worry about the taking a bath thing. All right. Number two. This is fun. Who will be taken up in the rapture? Well, Jesus said to his disciples, listen to this. It's in John 14, 3 through 4. You might want to write this down. Jesus says to his disciples, I will come again and receive you to myself. He could have went on and said, just like we did with Enoch at the beginning of the scriptures. He could have said, just like we did Elijah when Elisha was trying to follow him and take on his seven times blessing. He could have said, well, just like it's going to take place when I'm taken out of here. But he didn't. He said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, he was talking here right after he got out of the foot washing service. He was talking here right there during the time of the Last Supper when Jesus said, I'm going to leave, I'm going to go, I'm going to be gone. He was talking about the ascension. And he says, if I go, I will come again, and I will receive you unto myself, like I did with Enoch and Elijah, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know. Talking about heaven. John the Revelator called it the third heaven. We know the heavens. And then he closed that statement and he said this, and the way you know. I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also, and you know where I go, and the way you know. That means there is a way. As a matter of fact, the early church, the early Christians, was first known as the way. There is a way. Jesus said, walk you in it. It's important to know the way. The Bible says there is a way that leads unto destruction, and there is a way that leads unto life everlasting. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many there are that go there. But narrow is the path that leads to life everlasting. Jesus said, you know where I'm going, and you know the way. You see, every one of us here know about heaven. And every one of us here today knows the way. But it's a matter of a choice whether you want to go that way or whether you want to go that way. There is a way. Jesus says, there's a way that if you walk in it, you will be part of the rapture. And if you don't, you won't. Those who love Jesus know the way. Let me tell you something. When you give your life to Jesus, all of a sudden a light switch goes on in your spirit. See, the world can't understand why you're a Jesus freak. The world can't understand why the Sabbath day is something that you honor. The world can't understand that. But the Holy Spirit, the Father, and Jesus, the Holy Spirit has a 24-hour-a-day job of drawing people to the Father. It's what he does. He draws people to the Father. Why does he do it that way? So that nobody can stand before God on Judgment Day and say, I didn't know anything about anything concerning Jesus and the fact that there is a way that I should walk. I don't know anything about that. No, you can never stand before God and say that, because the Holy Spirit came so that he would convict the world of sin and convince the world of righteousness. Hello. And lead us into instruction in the path of righteousness that we should walk, and explain to us the way. The Holy Spirit is busy teaching people to come to Jesus. No man comes to the Father except the Spirit draws him. But when they come to the Father, when the Spirit draws them and they say yes to Jesus, all of a sudden the light switch goes on the inside of your spirit, man, and all of a sudden you start to understand that the way and the way. Where I go, you know, and the way to get there, you will also know. Revelation 14 and 5 says it this way. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Speaking of the believers who know the way and are willing to walk in the way. And in their mouth is found no deceit, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Why? Because when you come to Jesus, you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things will pass away, and all things will become new. Down in Jamaica, they sing a song like, the things I used to do, I do them no more. The things I used to say, I say them no more. Why? Because when the life of Jesus comes into you, you become a new creature, a born-again believer, a baby. And the Holy Spirit begins to teach you the way to get to heaven. Matthew says that the people that are going to go to heaven are people who's called to be salt and light in this world. I'm glad Enoch was the seventh. I'm glad it was the number of completion and the number of perfection. You know why I'm glad? That the number seven, rapture of the church, talks about completion and perfection. Do you know why? Because the moment you ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, and you submit your body and your life and you say, I want you to be the Lord of my life, he cleanses you from all sin. He forgets, wipes you completely clean. He makes you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, which means you are perfect. Hello. And he makes you complete in him. And it's not a works of righteousness anybody can boast. It's the free gift of God. And we become complete and we become perfect. Our righteousness are as filthy rags. That's a given. But when God looks at you and when he looks at me, thank God he looks past his bald head and sees the righteousness of God. He sees me as perfect and complete. It's no wonder God included the rapture of the church in Genesis chapter 5, and maybe before that I'll have to think about that. Didn't have time to go back and think about it a little bit more. I'm sure some of you will already know the rapture was talked about before Enoch, but I'm glad that he talked about it in Genesis, and I'm glad he talked about it all the way to Revelation, the last chapter, I believe the 19th verse 24 of Revelation, whatever, as Jesus said, I'm coming quickly, and John the Revelator said, come, Lord Jesus, all the way through the scriptures. Rapture is important. Say amen. When will the rapture happen? Well, everybody know it'll happen on Wednesday. No, that's not right. When will the rapture happen? The Bible doesn't tell us exactly when it's going to happen. Okay? In fact, Jesus said, I don't even know when it's going to happen myself. The one thing Jesus doesn't know, when the rapture of the church is going to happen. Mark 13:32 says, but of that day and that hour no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven know. Nor does Jesus, the Son of God, know, but only the Father knows. But Matthew chapter 24 is an interesting chapter. And Matthew chapter 24 gives us a whole lot of hints about when the rapture will take place. Matthew 24. I just printed this off a few minutes ago, and what are some of the things that kind of point to? It's like, for example, when the squirrels start digging a hole in the yard, you know that winter's on the way, right? Well, the disciples asked Jesus privately, said, tell us, when will these things be, the end of the world and all that stuff? What will be the sign of your coming, the end of the world? And Jesus said, let me give you some things that will be happening in the end days. Many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and deceive many. Did you know that not all people that say they're the prophets of God say, thus saith the Lord? Did you know that not every one of them are true prophets of God? For example, I was in San Francisco back in 1960. And I drove down the street, and there stood a guy with a big sign. A hippie. You know what a hippie was? Haight-Ashbury Zone. Remember Haight-Ashbury? Look it up. Google will tell you. They might even talk about this guy that I'm getting ready to tell you about. He had a sign, and it said, all nude church. Telephone number. Everybody welcome. That caught my attention right off. How many of you know that guy really wasn't of Christ? Right? Wish I wouldn't have told you that now, because you didn't respond. You didn't go, oh me, high five. Jesus in Matthew 24 says, Here's some signs that Jesus is coming soon. You're going to hear about wars and rumors of wars. Anybody hear rumors of wars? Try to say that one time with gum in your mouth. Didn't know I had gum in the mouth, did you? I do. I have the upper gums and the lower gums. When you hear wars and rumors of wars, boy, I'll tell you what. If you're stupid enough to turn on CNN, You want to develop fear? You want to develop hate against your president? You want to develop all kinds of mixed up emotions and mixed up truth and all that kind of stuff? Go ahead, CBSN. Go ahead, listen to it. Because you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Don't be troubled, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Nation will rise against nation, okay, and kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places. About 3 years ago, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, I want you to put earthquake insurance on the church and on your home. Before the night settled, I called my both insurance agents and I said, I want earthquake insurance. He said, why? We don't have earthquakes here. I said, no, but we're getting ready to. When will the rapture happen? Signs of the times are everywhere. And there's a lot of negative signs, all right. But I'm here today to tell you there are more positive signs than there are negative signs. Because the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is getting stirred up. It's getting excited. There's a feeling in the air. There's a new wave of revival. Hello. There's an anointing. Don't believe for 1 minute that the church is going to hell in a handbasket and that it's getting weaker and weaker all the time, because that's not true. The truth of the matter is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is more triumphant, it's more successful, it's more productive today than it has ever been in the history of all mankind. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're not part of the way, you're missing it. That's where the excitement is. Now, if I'd have been sitting in your shoes and somebody said that to me, I'd have stood up and raised the roof off of this church. That's what I'd have done. I'd have started whistling like it did when it was time to take the offering. 1 John 1:7 says, give me some music, says, for those of you who are walking in the light as he is in the light, and we have fellowship one with another, the coming of the Lord is an exciting thing. The Bible says, you know, but the Bible says, we've revealed unto you that Jesus is coming. We understand through the Holy Spirit. The fourth one, my last one, is this. Will I be along in the rapture? Will I get taken up like Enoch did? Luke 9:23 says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and let him take up his cross daily and follow me. And 1 John 3:3 says, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Jesus said, where I go, you know, and the way, you know. Herein is the way. Walk you in it. So who is this Enoch of God's Hall of Fame? The seventh from Adam. Lived 365. He was one who pleased God. He was one who God took. Simply put, Enoch is a forerunner of the rapture of the church. I want you to bow your heads for a moment. It's always exciting to come to a moment like this. When the Holy Spirit is present, it's always the most exciting time of the Sunday morning experience, because somewhere in this assembly hall today and in assemblies halls all over the universe. There are hungry people who want something more than their life is giving them. And there are hungry people who want Jesus to forgive them of their sins and cleanse them from their unrighteousness. And we're at that moment of truth right now. And I would like to give you an opportunity to say, Pastor, I need my sins forgiven. The rapture of the church took place right now. I would be the one in the crashed vehicle, not the one in the chariot of fire. And I want to change that right this moment. I want to ask Jesus Christ to come into my life and forgive me of my sins. I want to ask Jesus Christ to cleanse me from all unrighteousness, to clean up my thinking, to clean up my actions, to clean up my attitude, to clean up my laziness. I want to use my gifts for the kingdom of heaven from this day on. I want to be a follower of Christ. I want to be a disciple of Christ. And I want to be a worker for the kingdom of God. And I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I'd like to ask you to raise your hand right now. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, say, Pastor, include me in this prayer. Because that's what I want. I want to commit my life to Him today. I want to give it all. Come on, raise up your hand. Don't be embarrassed. Just raise it up. Nobody's looking around. See, I followed Him afar off, but I'm not doing that no more. I give my life wholly to the Lord. He is the Lord of my life from this moment on. I surrender all. And if your hand is raised this morning, Jesus is looking upon you. His eyes are not closed. Those around you, eyes are closed, but Jesus' eyes are looking at you right now. He's looking at your heart on the inside, and He's hearing your heart's cry saying, I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life forever, and this is my day, this is my moment, this is my time. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to pray, and I want you to pray this with me. Dear Jesus, come on, pray it out loud, everyone in the assembly. Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of unrighteousness. Wash me in your blood. Make me ready for the rapture. I know the way. Help me to follow the way. Lord, I want to go to heaven to be with you when my time is over. And should the rapture of the church take place today, come on, say it, church. I want to be ready. I know that because of you today, I am ready. And the devil cannot tell me any different. I will not believe the lies. I will believe the truth that if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. Jesus, I thank you for your Holy Spirit of drawing today. Lord, be with us. In Jesus' name we pray and we give you praise. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a good praise.